Good evening, everyone, from Gustavus City Hall. This is Mayor Taylor, and with me here is our City Clerk, Karen Platt. We welcome you to our March 14, 2022 general meeting, which I'll now call to order. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Van der Zanden.
Here.
Councilmember Lewis.
Here.
Vice Mayor Bishop.
Here.
Councilmember Makoviak.
Here.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Councilmember Furr.
Here.
Councilmember Sharman.
Here.
Okay, all members are present and a quorum exists. And I just wanted to add that it is a little bit hard to hear Councilmember Van der Zanden and Sharman. So I don't know if you need to get closer to your mic.
Thanks. I thought Councilmember Furr was a little weak too, but maybe it's just. But at any rate, be sure to speak close to your mics and that'll make sure that we can hear you here in City Hall. Our first item is the review of our vision statement, our reminder of what we're all about here. And for that this evening, we have a council member and former mayor, Jim Muscoviac.
Excuse me. We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources, with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Thank you very much. The next item is the approval of minutes. I believe Council Member Furr has a motion for us to approve.
Yes, I do. I move to approve by unanimous consent the February 14th, 2022 general meeting minutes.
Do we have a second? Everybody shy this evening, I'll second it. So it has been moved and seconded to approve the February 14, 2022 general meeting minutes by unanimous consent. Do any members of the public wish to offer any additions or corrections to the minutes? If so, raise your hand. We don't have very many on the line tonight. Okay, seeing none, do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, do any council members, are there any objections to passing the February 14, 2022 general meeting minutes by unanimous consent? Seeing no objections, the minutes are accepted by unanimous consent. Next item is mayor's request for agenda changes. I have none. Do any council members have any suggestions or anything we need to rearrange on the agenda for any reason? Okay, we'll accept the agenda then as set. The next item is committee reports and staff reports. As our staff knows, we try to keep these to about 5 minutes or so. and the council can ask clarifying questions afterwards, after the presentation. So the first is the Gustavus Public Library quarterly report.
Good evening, this is Leanne Weichel. Can you hear me?
We do, thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. And thank you for your time and attention. Jesse and I want you to know that we really appreciate all the work of the council and the city hall, and we're very, very grateful for it. Kyle has up our general library statistics right now. We track everything. We're pretty data-driven. We track our visitors. We track them by age group, how many books are checked out every day, how many DVDs, how many interlibrary loans. And it's actually really helpful in directing us towards decisions we make. Right now, we're super interested in tracking a new move we made. We have started posting wherever we can the link to the online catalog. And why we're doing that is because we're in phase one and we want to make the collection at the library still accessible to everyone. And so you could, and still can, you can go to the city website and go to choose the library, and then you can go on and find the online link, or we can just provide it to you directly. So we've sent it out to our patron group via email, and we've been putting it on Facebook, which reminds me, if you haven't found the Gustavus Public Library yet on Facebook, please go like the page now. So we're working hard to collect good data, and right now it's showing that posting the live link is a good move. It's helping to get books and DVDs and other materials into our patrons' hands. Kyle, if you could go to the next page, please. This page talks about our past, current, and upcoming programming, and some of the highlights that I'd like to point out. Is that we are continuing to bring books to the school. Right now, when the library is in phase one, instead of having the school groups come to the library, I'm bringing the books to the school and meeting the teachers, and the kids are still getting books in their hands, which I'm pretty happy about. If you go down a little bit lower, it says Gustavus Virtual Book Club. That is actually happening tomorrow, and it's a local. It's Linnea Lenfer's book, Hold the Tide. It's tomorrow at 5 p.m. I've sent out the live link to that to the library patrons group. So if there's somebody that didn't get that, just send me a quick email. It's very, very, very fun and very rewarding to be having the Gustavus Book Club around a local author. Very, very cool. A little bit farther down, it talks about some of the other stuff besides books and DVDs that we have at the library. A big part of our mission is to get information in people's hands, whatever information it is that they need to make their lives successful. And currently we have 1040 IRS forms and 1040 easy directions on how to fill out your forms. So we have the permanent fund paper version if that's something you'd prefer versus doing it online. We have the new 2022 Tide tables. So all kinds of information and that we are happy to get to you. Kyle, can you turn to the next page, please? So Jesse and I are active grant writers, and we've written a few that we're really excited about that we've talked about before. But we just want to remind people that we're continuing to spend the FY22 PLA Public Library Assistant Grant every month, and we're seeking your requests. We purchase about 50 books or DVDs a month, and honestly, we would really prefer to choose authors that the patrons in Gustavus want, or a DVD series, or whatever you're passionate about. So we're asking people to let us know. If there's something you'd like to see in the library, let us know. Send us an email, stop by, a phone call. It's really, really fun to get favorite authors into our patrons' hands. In November, we've talked about this before, we received the $6,000 from the ARPA grant. And one of the ways that we are spending that money is on our STEM kits. And there are now 12 of them ready to go. There's a list on the screen. I want to highlight a couple of them. there is a pasta making kit. It's the actual machine to make the pasta and all the directions and the measuring tools. I think you have to provide your own flour and water. There is a juggling kit if you've ever wanted to learn how to be a juggler. And then the escape room kit would make a great winter activity night. So I actually have a challenge for the council. If you could take a minute and look at that list and decide which one you're going to check out for yourself or your family, send me an email and I'll make sure that it gets to you, because we're very sure that once this catches on, people are going to love these. And if you love it, then you're going to tell a friend. So that's my only challenge for the evening. Kyle, if you go to the next page. The top of this page is a peek at what you might find inside a tub. Everything comes in a contained tub. It's all the pieces that you need. It's one unit. And then you use the parts that make sense to you or that you're interested in it. A little bit lower on here is some mostly good news. We did apply for a grant called the Book Hook Grant, which was offered by Alaska Brewing Company. We did not get it, but the investor who was in charge of it was really excited about what we were proposing. And so he went on to encourage other people to fund it, and they funded it halfway. We were seeking $1,000. To fund our 1,000 Books Before K initiative and our Books for Babes work. And thank you to Jeff and Marcy Larson, because they funded half of that at $500, and we're very grateful for that. So that is pretty exciting. Under existing projects, we're continue to work with Melissa to be recataloging our entire collection. She's been working very diligently on it, and she's made lots and lots of progress. At this point, I'm going to put an appeal out to all library preterms to return your overdue books. One of the data pieces that we get daily is how many books in our collection or DVDs or whatever are checked out and how many are overdue. And pretty consistently, 50% of the books or DVDs or other parts of the collection that are checked out are overdue. So if you have some of those overdue books, we'd appreciate it if people would get them in. And if you ask a neighbor, did you turn your library books in? You can put them in the book drop. We are happy to see you when you come too. There will be no public shaming of people with overdue books. We would just like to have them in so we can get them cataloged. Kyle, can you go to the next page? All right, there are no pretty pictures on this one, but a couple things happen. We meet at least bi-monthly with our library friends and volunteers group, and we did a big training as we update the catalog and get it all correct. We're working to help make our volunteers more successful in finding books and utilizing the library. And where are the things? There's been many, many changes. If anybody comes in and you can't find something, maybe you used to know where the classics were or where the mystery books are housed and you don't know, ask a librarian or a volunteer. We are happy to help. The bottom page talks about training. Jesse and I are both still new to being librarians, and we both attended the Alaska Library Virtual Conference. It was held in February. It was very, very awesome. Some of the highlights were learning about the upcoming summer reading program. And then there was one put on by the Society of Children Books, Alaska Society of Children's Book Writers. And it was really, really awesome. The authors came on, told us about their books, told us the backstories of their books. We became really familiar with them. And then the people attending got to participate in a battle of the books, which I don't know. I know many of you don't know me all that well, but I'm pretty competitive. So I was all in and I won. And what that means for the Gustavus Public Library is that we're getting a basket of their new authors' books that are being published this year and a library author visit. What that's going to look like, I haven't heard yet, but I just got an email, congratulating me on the win and letting me know that this was going to happen. So I'll keep you posted on that. And then in May, there's a really awesome conference that's actually happening live in Juneau. It's called the Small Library Institute of Management. It's something the Alaska State Library Association puts on in an effort to help people who do not have their master's degree in library science, which would be both Jesse and I. So I am going to attend that, and I'm pretty excited about it. There's a lot of details in the report if you want to read more. Other than that, last page, please, Kyle. We have been working with Tom and Eduarda on the budget process. We're very grateful for their support and mentorship through that. And thank you to all of you again. We appreciate your efforts on behalf of Gustavus. I am open for questions if anybody has a question or a comment.
Well, what a lot of great stuff going on at the library, as usual. Even pasta making. Well, do any council members have any questions for Leanne? A lot of good stuff in the report. If you read through it, if you haven't done so. Okay, well, thank you and keep up the one. Oh, looks like Councilmember Muscoviac has a question here.
Yeah, I just want to thank Jesse and Leanne for all the work they do at the library and for making it such a welcoming place.
Thank you, Jim. We try. We're working hard.
Here, here, indeed. It's one of the everybody's favorite place in Gustavus, and one of the things that really makes us a special community here, I always feel. Okay, well, thank you very much for that report, and I guess we can move on to the city treasurer's monthly financials and quarterly report. And I believe we have Eduarda Loggins online if she'd like to just give us some highlights. Eduarda, are you there? I think she's not. I saw her on the list, but Eduarda, we're not hearing you if you're. Well, maybe Eduarda doesn't have a good connection there. Report is, of course, in the packet as always, and we're about three quarters of the way through our fiscal year at this point. And so if you scan down the profit and loss in Eduarda's report, printed report as of the 8th, you'll see things like total tax income. We're already at 96.2% of our budgeted tax income. And of course, we've actually raised the budget from the original budget because we were getting so much more in than we had conservatively estimated before. So we continue to do very well on our tax income. And our administrative staff here is really responsible for getting that collected and recorded, and it's just great work. Total income's at 89.4% as of our adjusted budget already. So again, we're doing just great for this point in the fiscal year. And you can scan down the expenses and so forth and compare those percentages to, you'll notice that some things we do all at once or at different times of the year. So not everything is going to match out to exactly like 75%, of course. So take a look through that. Looks like our city administrator, Tom Williams, has a comment on this.
Thank you, Mayor. I received a text from our treasurer and she's having audio problems. So if there's any questions, I'm happy to field those for anyone.
Sure, and I see the council member Muscoviac's hand is up unless he just didn't put it down after his recent comment on the library. Anything to add there, Jim? I guess
no, that was my mistake. Okay. My hand's lowered.
Okay. Just didn't want to miss you. Okay, well, it's a very solid report as usual, and reflects the competent and conservative management of our public finances here. And once again, I must congratulate our administrative staff for a fine job on dealing, you know, on assuring that the people's money is being well used and safely guarded. Okay, we'll move on then to City Administrator's General Meeting report. Tom Williams.
Thank you, Mayor. First item up is our septic pumping program. We held a meeting on March 3rd for those interested in being the city's septic operator. Unfortunately, we didn't have any interested persons attend. However, John Barry, Ponch, and Justin Marchbanks attended the meeting, and we had a productive discussion. Basically, our discussion looked at the proposed program, and the consensus was that we look at our program and make a few changes. Briefly, that is taking the vacuum pump that was located on a trailer towed behind a pickup or something, swap that out and get a septic truck similar to what we see with Juno Septic. That would give us a little more versatility in the ability to pump a septic tank fully and also be able to operate it for some of our larger septic tanks. The rest of the process would stay the same. The tank truck would be emptied at the city's transit tank site, in which the lightweight would load the tanks onto the ship, take it over to Juno. So Juno Septic would then pump it out and deliver it to CBJ wastewater. The difference would run about an extra $50,000 or $70,000, depending on the price of the septic truck and, of course, transportation here. The second step of this plan would be a more long-term solution, and that would involve getting a dewatering septic truck that would then take the water, put it back into the septic tank, and then take what they call the mud and convert that into compost. And that could be used either in combination with our existing food waste stream or other disposal, such as burning it, putting it in the landfill, or converting it to fertilizer. The use as a fertilizer has been pretty productive in all the research that I've looked at. It's fantastic for trees. Tree farms look for this stuff and use it like Christmas tree farms. So there's lots of alternatives to what we do with the mud. John Barry is developing an analysis for this project, taking a look at what the opportunities would be. The dollar for this kind of project is a little bit of a shock. It's around $1 million. As of now, of course, with the way prices are changing, it's likely to go up. And this would take about 2 to 3 years to implement. The permitting is time consuming, and it would also require identifying just how we would eliminate the mud. Let's see, we also I had a discussion with Juno Septic at trying to resolve the reliability issue and getting them over here several times during the summer months to adequately pump all of the septic tanks in need. And we're making some progress on that. As most of you know, Juno Septic is for sale, so the future of the business is somewhat up in the air. But we're looking at some alternatives, what-ifs kind of scenarios, And it may be a viable option if we're able to work out some of the kinks. So it's still in the running as a option for us to address our septic waste issues. I did receive a question slash comment on our septic product having PFAS in it. I did talk with both Juno Septic and DEC about that. And both mentioned that most of the septic being pumped has PFAS in it, and that CBJ wastewater plant already acknowledges that PFAS is likely in all of the wastewater. So they did not have a problem with us taking our wastewater over there as we currently do, and them taking it on at the CBJ wastewater plant. Okay, that ate up most of my 5 minutes. So I'll briefly go over a couple of quick items. The infrastructure bill grants. I did want to acknowledge the work of Council Member Mikowiak and Vice Mayor Bishop working on a grant application to address our bike pedestrian trail. They're doing the background work so that our grant writer would be able to write up the grant application and submit it. Interesting thing, important thing to recognize with this infrastructure grant bill is that it is multi-year. So over the next 4 years, funding opportunities will be available and construction has to be completed, I believe it's September of 2026. So we may miss a deadline or we may miss an opportunity during this calendar year or grant year, but we'll have subsequent years in which we can file or be competitive. If we're able to get a grant in for, say, the wave barrier project out at our floats, and it doesn't get approved, we could tweak it, cover some of the shortfalls, and then resubmit it on the second funding availability. So again, a shout out to Vice Mayor Bishop and Council Member Mikowiak for doing some of that heavy lifting for us. The road teams continue to meet and work on projects and a plan for this summer improvement schedule. Glacier Bay Construction gave a valiant effort to repair our badly potholed roads a couple of weeks ago. I'm sure most of you have noticed the weather hasn't been kind to our roads, and we're starting to feel those bumps once again. But thanks to Justin and Punch for getting the work done that they were able to do. I know it made a difference, at least for a couple of weeks. And lastly, you may notice that the steel float has moved over to Bull Moose Cove. Big shout out to Ben Sadler, our Marine Facilities Coordinator, and Councilmember Vander Zanden for helping coordinate with DOT and John Molino in getting the float moved. As I understand it, it was a very smooth process, and we may have found a long-term solution for moving our steel float. John Molino runs a salvage business, and he coordinated with a fishing vessel out of Huna, and with their skiff was able to move the float fairly easily, and the hookups using their anchor winch went much smoother than it had in the past, where the hoisting of those anchors was pretty difficult. So again, a big thanks to Council Member Vander Zanden and Ben Sadler for getting the float moved before any further damage took place and hopefully finding us a long-term solution. That's all I have, Mayor. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer those.
Thank you, Tom. Any questions for Tom on his report? With a lot of stuff going on that he's been getting done. And if council members have need more information on anything, they can drop by City Hall and catch him here. And he'll fill you in. Okay, it looks like we don't see any more for that. Thank you very much, Tom. And I appreciate the great work. It's just great to have you here getting this stuff done for us.
Thank you, Mayor. I did want to mention.
Yes.
Go ahead. I apologize. I wanted to mention we have our town hall for our budget meeting Wednesday at 6 p.m.
Right. Yeah. Thanks for the reminder on that. Wednesday. Yeah. Okay. We'll move on then to our public comment on non-agenda items. This public comment period is for non-agenda items only and is intended for discussion. The council may ask clarifying questions only. If you'd like to make public comment on a non-agenda item at this time, please click the participants icon on the Zoom there and then the hand icon to raise your hand. If you do not have that option, unmute your phone and the clerk will add you to the list and remute you until it's your turn to speak. State your full name when speaking and refrain from speaking if the comments have already been addressed by another speaker. Please do not use profanity and be respectful of your comments. I think everybody always is here. You'll have one opportunity to comment here, and then we have another public comment of non-agenda items at the end of the meeting. So do we have any members of the public with a comment on non-agenda items? Okay, if there was anybody that's on just a phone and just wants to speak up, we could do it that way. I'm not seeing any hands go up. Okay, well, there'll be another opportunity at the end of the meeting. And we'll move on then to the consent agenda, on which we have just one item, our monthly certificate of records destruction. And I think you all know the drill on that one. That's the single item. Do any members of the public wish to have that item removed from the consent agenda and put on new business? Seeing none, do any council members wish to move that item to new business? Okay, I'm not seeing any. Then I believe we have a motion from Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop to approve the consent agenda by unanimous consent. Vice Mayor?
Yeah, I move to adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent as presented.
I'll second.
Thank you. Do we have a second? I heard a second from Council Member Vander Zanden. Am I correct? That was Council Member Vander Zanden, did I hear?
Yes, Vander Zanden.
Yes. Okay. Just want to make sure we had the right person logged in here on that. Okay. We've moved and seconded to accept the consent agenda by unanimous consent. If there are no objections, does anybody have any objection to accepting it? Seeing none, the consent agenda is passed by unanimous consent. Okay, moving on, we have no ordinance for public hearing tonight and no unfinished business from previous meetings to do tonight. And so that brings us to new business. And the first item, it's going to take a little explanation, and since I've worked on it, I'll give an explanation before I ask Council Member Lewis to make a motion on this. This is the Gustavus Beach Park Cooperative Resource Management Agreement. I'm going to bring up some notes I've got on my screen here. I think everybody's aware that we have in place a Cooperative Resource Management Agreement, a CRMA, with the Department of Natural Resources. that provides for joint management of the park, essentially management by the city of state property down on either side of the dock, the tracks A and B2, down by the dock. And about 2 years ago, as the first CRMA had been signed by the DNR and by the city, we observed that there were some issues in the CRMA that deserved an update to fix some problems in the existing CRMA. So, the existing one was really quite well done and was work of a lot of people who worked so hard to establish the beach park and provide protection. But we noticed that there were some issues in how DNR had described the boundaries of the park, and they had listed all of track B, for example, when track B includes the bulk fuel facility, and that's now been subdivided into B1 and B2. And so we recommended changing the description to clearly show that the beach park only included B2 on that side of the road and not the bulk fuel facility, which is managed obviously for its industrial purpose. We proposed changes to the boundaries and the property description to call that out. We also wanted to make sure that since there have been a lot of isostatic rebound since the time of the survey of tracks A and then B, that there was a lot of accreted land out in front. And so we wanted to make sure that the accreted land was included in our authority to manage the park. So we've dealt with that in an update. And we also clarified that motor vehicles would not be allowed, motorized vehicle traffic would not be allowed on the beach strand. We listed that in the development plan portion of the CRMA. We felt we needed a more clear map. So we've added a very nice new map. Those are the main sorts of additions. We did want, due to public input, we originally wanted to not provide for camping in the park due to concerns about problems with bears, and also, oh, there's the map right there on the screen. And by the way, thanks to Whitney Rapp for this beautiful map. That's her fine work. So you can see some of the changes on there. We've called out some of the proposed developments, like a possible hardened trail to the campfire site and a possible loop coming back around to the road. Just clarified some of where the boundaries were and so forth. So we worked with DNR, and it got a little bit behind. Well, it certainly was delayed due to the COVID situation over the last couple of years. And we finally completed a rewrite with DNR, with Bruce Wyrack, who was working for them. You may remember he was a state representative years ago and is a lawyer. And he was working for a period of time in the lands office in Juneau, and he took our project on and did a wonderful job in rewriting the main part of the CRMA that sets forth the legal requirements and descriptions. And then I had redrafted the development plan from the original one, moved some paragraphs around and updated the history a little bit, and clarified where we would have parking and where we'd have barriers and so forth. So the CRMA, as we now have more or less agreed it with the local office in Juneau, comprises three parts. The legalistic first part is the basic CRMA. And then there is a development plan that describes what we're going to do at the park. And by the way, includes our authority to use our code of ordinance to manage the park. And then the map is part of that development plan. The next step is to demonstrate or give the public here an opportunity to comment on the plan as it now on this rewrite or update of the plan. It's shown as an amendment to the plan, actually. To give the public an opportunity to weigh in and say, you know, they like it or they don't like it and that sort of thing. And then, tonight we are proposing to put it out for a month's long public comment period, and we'll schedule it for a hearing at our next general meeting in April, April 11, I think it is. At which time we'll have a resolution for the council to give its stamp of approval on the plan, and we'll send it back to DNR and ask them to sign it. Now, the Anchorage office of DNR has dragged their feet on this, despite the strong recommendations from the Juneau office to approve it. And they raised a question about whether up in Anchorage, about whether a CRMA was even the proper vehicle to use for this joint management of the park. And some of them up there thought, well, maybe a special use area, which the state uses in the interior often, would be more appropriate. The Southeast office and I both stood up for the CRMA approach. It's worked fine for us so far. We have a CRMA also for the Boat Harbor for our jointly managed areas there. And we had one for the Salmon River Park before it was transferred to the city. So we're used to using the CRMA, and we felt the CRMA works fine. But the Anchorage office had us put a paragraph in there. And some of you who've looked at this would notice that it was still highlighted in red as a track changes, because I'd forgotten to accept that change before I sent the copy to the clerk to include in the packet. I've now just accepted that change, but there's that paragraph about, I think it's 14 or some such, about possible consideration of a special use area is there because the Anchorage office wanted that paragraph there. And Ben White and who's the manager of the office in Juneau, and I thought, well, the best thing is to just accept that, put it in, and we'll get the CRMA signed off. And then if the Anchorage office wants to dream up a special use area arrangement, they can do that and come back to us with that recommendation. My guess is they probably won't bother. So at any rate, that's what that item is. And several people had asked why that was there and was highlighted in red. So it was just a late addition. So that's the plan for getting this update to the CRMA done. And that's my introduction. Sorry it was so long, but we have a motion from Council Member Tanya Lewis on this item. Council Member Lewis, please.
Yes, thank you. I move to publish for public review the updated Cooperative Resource Management Agreement negotiated with the Department of Natural Resources and to schedule it for public hearing and approval at the April 11th, 2022 general meeting.
Thank you very much. Do we have a second, please?
I'll second that.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to publish for public review the updated Cooperative Resource Management Agreement negotiated with the Department of Natural Resources and to schedule it for public hearing and approval at the April 11, 2022 general meeting. So we have that motion on the floor. Do any council members, hang on a sec here. Do I think before we go to the council members, we'll give let's give the public an opportunity to comment on this. And remember, this is just to, this motion will just post this or publish it for public comment. And after, during the next month, we'll receive public comment and there'll be a public hearing on the details of it next month. So do any members of the public wish to comment on this motion before we come back to the council with it? I'm not seeing anybody raise their hands on the screen. Okay, do any council members then have any comments or, any comments on this? Did I see Council Member Sharman? Yes. Lewis, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This may well be a question more appropriate for April's meeting, but I am curious whether the language in this amended version is clear that motorized vehicles are prohibited on the beach below the high tide line down to the water's edge, regardless of the tide. Do you have an interpretation of that? Thanks.
Yes, that I, Councilmember Sharman, that appears in the development plan. And by the way, the development plan, due to my error, was not in the original packet that came out to the council, but it is part of this. We've emailed it to you just, I think, yesterday or the day before. And so you've got that piece to it, but that provision is in the development plan. And the language in there says that the DNR accepts our plan, our development plan as written, they accept it as written. So that would mean that they, when they sign off on this, they accept that that intention of the city. But I suggest you read through the development plan, and if you've got any questions, let me know. And by the way, I'm expecting that Ben White will come out to Gustavus from the Juneau office for the April 11 meeting. And I'm hoping that we can arrange a beach walk for people that are interested in having an informal opportunity to meet with the DNR folks and let them know how they feel about the beach and the provisions in the plan. So that'll be another opportunity to ask questions. Yes, again, Lewis, anything more there?
Thank you. I just want to make sure that we're prepared to make amendments to this plan in real time at the April meeting if we choose to vote on its adoption and sending it on to DNR. Is that a reasonable assumption?
Yes, that would, we'll have a resolution. And if council members say we got public input during this next month that suggested something different or some different wording, we could certainly say at the work session in April, before the general meeting, we could work together to fashion some changes to the language in the development plan. I don't think we'd want to mess with the intro, the legal text in the CRMA itself, because that doesn't really affect how we manage it that much. But if we wish to make some changes to the text, we could certainly do it at that time. Part of the idea of a public hearing on it. Okay. Any other questions or comments on introducing this? Okay. We have our motion to approve this for public review and comment and schedule it for the April 11 meeting. So, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Motion passes with all council members in favor.
Thank you very much. And I encourage everybody with an interest in the beach park to write up your comments, review the, especially the development plan. That's the part the DNR is particularly concerned, wants to make sure that the public generally supports it. And I realize there are some people in the community who will have a different view about things like motorized vehicles. But at any rate, I hope everybody who has a view on the park will write up their comments. You can email them to the city clerk, and we will pass on all comments to DNR with our resolution when we finally pass it with our recommendation. So I encourage you again, everybody, please review it and comment. So thank you all for that one. The next is to move on to item 7, the council review of the Gustavus Visitors Association marketing plan and their FY 23 budget request. And that plan is in your packet and their budget information. And I believe Leah Okun is online to answer questions. And perhaps Leah, if you'd like to give us a little intro to this and state what you're hoping to have from the council in the way of budget assistance for the GVA. I think I saw Leah.
Hi, yes. Can you, yes, aha, you did see me on there. I'm just grabbing my paperwork and I can I'll talk you through. And I know you've got it up there on the screen.
Maybe so, I surprised you there. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I was just, I got distracted there. Okay, I'm with you now. So when you want an intro, what do you, I mean, I, what would you like to know?
Sure,
what would be the budget line?
I probably should have explained that we have a requirement in our code for the GVA to present to the council their marketing plan each year, along with their budget request. And so the council reviews that plan and considers it as they've developed the operating budget for the coming fiscal year to include your budget line. So if you would like to give us a brief overview of what you do in your marketing plan, and council members can certainly read it in all in detail. I guess that would be the starting point. And then council members could ask you any questions they might have. Does that work?
Yes, that works. Okay, so with the marketing plan, the fiscal year 23 marketing plan, we have the ongoing, looking at what's on screen at the moment. So we have a target audience of new and returning independent travelers. And well, actually, if you go to the next page, and we'll just sort of skim through this because you can read it in detail yourself. So at the top, we've got the ongoing marketing goals. branding of Gustavus and increasing visitor length of stay. That's something which we've been working on for the last couple of years, actually. And this year we have seen for the first time an increase in the length of visitor stay. And as you know, the longer people stay, the more they spend money at the galleries and at the coffee shops, and you know, the more we benefit from their the length of their stay. So we're continuing to work on that. So we have the ongoing marketing goals, and then we have the strategic initiatives for ongoing marketing goals. So we want to, you know, increase the average tourist length of stay, as I said, develop green initiatives. And this is something which we haven't done before, but there's Adventure Green Alaska. We have, there are several organizations that are part of the conservation organization of Adventure Green Alaska, but there's very few towns, and I think that we can push to having the whole town look at our carbon footprint and look at our green initiatives. We have our recycling center is a wonderful showcase of our conservation efforts. So putting towards more green initiatives is something which I'd like to work on as well. So I'm going to kind of scoot through here so we can look at some of the initiatives tasks. I'm just sort of giving an overview. Let's go to the next page. So another thing that we're working on as well, while we're going to the next page. So we've got on this next page is all the things which are marketing that's ongoing. So we're partners and members of Travel Juneau, of the Alaska Travel Industry Association, Southeast Alaska Tourism Council. So we have various digital and media campaigns and marketing efforts that are ongoing with Alaska Airlines Magazine, Alaska Magazine, Milepost, K2. We just did a big push of social media marketing. So there's, you know, continuous work on marketing and our website developments and behind the scenes of our website. So looking at the social, the SEO work and how, you know, how viewed our websites are. So we're doing a lot of statistics gathering of how we're doing and changing things around constantly to adapt to what we've discovered works and what we've discovered doesn't work. We're also looking at incorporating more community aspects as well. So we we're working on the beach sign. We want to spruce that up, and that costs money. We want to potentially relocate it to the other side. That's something we're looking at while you're talking about the beach, the DNR work, so that we have a more picturesque backdrop. We are working on the new map that should be out soon, the next couple of months. So all of this costs a lot of money, and another aspect we're looking at is trying to be more of a community information as well. You know, Leanne was talking about her Facebook site and being visible. The DVA has a calendar of Gustavus events that you can see everything that's going on in one place in Gustavus. So we have that platform. So there's a lot of things, and the biggest thing that is going to cost money is our plan to put another movie together, a video of Gustavus. So something which is going to be engaging, I know we have one video now under our belts. We want to have a few that can appeal to different types of audiences, different lengths of video. So video footage is very important to have as a marketing tool. So these are all the things that we're doing. And what we're asking for, I'm just pulling up the budget line. I don't know if we have that on this screen that you want to pull up if you turn the pages. Okay, so what we're requesting, the bottom line there is the, so I'm just looking through it, total. So 39,920 is basically what we're asking for. And so we've gone through every line item to see what, you know, how much things are going to cost. And that really is our bottom line, which if you do anything in marketing, you'll have an idea of that's actually not a huge amount of money. It's very easy to spend that. So we look at very closely how we can spend it wisely. And, you know, once we've gone through everything, you know, we really think that is our bottom line to do all the things that we want to do and be successful. Any questions?
Yeah, excuse me, Leah, this is Mike. As I look at this, I think the $39,920 was your total expected income, and the request of the city was $35,600. Would be the city share of that. The rest was membership.
So yes. Mike. All right, let's go. I'm just looking at it on the screen here.
Sure. Yeah, it's a little balance small sheet. On the screen right now. I'm looking at it in the printed version, so it's easier to read for me.
So maybe go back. Yes, go back on that.
It's on the city tax revenue, and I think that is what we have in our draft budget. Tom could probably confirm that later, but
gross expense total. Something profit and loss. Now go back a notch again to that first. Yes, that's it, the fiscal year budget request. So total expenses, total marketing, yeah, 18.
The first page of your budget request sheet had the top line. Had income was income city tax revenue $35,600.
Yeah, do you want to bring that back up on the screen so we're looking at that again?
Go back two pages, please. Okay, that would be page 80 or page no, sorry, page 30 on the packet, and it's the top line there.
So city tax revenue, 35,000, membership, 4,000.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at the one on the paper version. Okay. Do any council members have any questions of Leah regarding their marketing plan and budget request? Council member Vanderzanden.
If I remember right, is it customary that GVA is to receive 50% of the 4% bed tax that comes in every year? Is that correct?
I can clarify that. Our ordinance says on the revenue section says that up to 50% of the bed tax that's collected each year may be directed to the GVA for their marketing plan, but there's no requirement to do the full 50%. And to my knowledge, we never actually have.
And is the projection of the tax this year, is that about 40,000 total?
I think we'd have to look in the budget for that line, and maybe I can go back and find it. Actually, what I'd be looking at here would be the one for this year. So actually, it wouldn't be. We'd have to look at that on the actual budget when we do it. But this is not 50%. I'm confident. And we'll. That's an item we can sort through and discuss when we actually do the budget another month or two here. Even in our next budget work session. Does that help?
Yeah, just for clarity, what they're requesting right now, is that in addition to what they would get from bed tax or after?
The bed tax comes to the city and into our general accounts, just like sales tax does. And then the council appropriates to GVA each year in its in our operating budget, a portion of an amount that is no more than 50% of what we received or what we expect to receive for bed tax. And usually I think we use 50% of the previous year or some such. But so we appropriate the budget line, the donation essentially to GVA. The amount is referenced to the bed tax. The money's all fungible. It comes into the city and then we appropriate out to all of our uses, and that's just a budget line that we appropriate. You could talk to either to Tom or Eduardo about that too to understand better how it works.
You can go ahead, Leah, if you have more. I'll wait.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Lewis. I just wanted to say, and just to clarify that the money that we receive, the up to 50% of the bed tax that we receive, we reinvest into Gustavus and into the visitor industry. So there isn't any. We don't have a savings account. We don't hold on to any money. You know, each year that we receive the money, every single penny of that money is reinvested to the goal of the betterment of Gustavus. So thank you.
Right. Okay, Councilmember Lewis.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that report, Leah. I was just looking at the budget projected, the draft budget for next year, and it says $70,000 or $75,000 for room tax income. So it's almost half, but not quite that the GVA is requesting.
Thanks for that clarification. Looks like our city administrator, Tom Williams, has a comment too, or a question.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. Maybe I can help. So if you look at our fiscal year 22 budget projections, the council was very conservative in estimating what they thought our room tax would be. And that's the 40,000 figure that you see on our draft fiscal 23 budget. However, we anticipate that number is going to be closer to to $80,000. And that's why we had forecasted very conservatively in fiscal year 23, 75,000. So that gives you a better idea what the real numbers are gonna look like for fiscal year 22. As it relates to the room sales tax, and then how that compares to the request of 39,000. by GVA. I hope that helps clarify what those numbers look like and why those numbers look the way they do. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. Any other questions for Leah on this? I'm not seeing any more. I would comment that once or twice I've tuned into their monthly meetings, and I've been very impressed with how the GVA has matured in the last couple of years, especially. And the IT operation is far more sophisticated than it's ever been before. I was quite impressed with the IT guy that that GVA has working for them, and the ways they use their they analyze their web traffic to determine what the patterns are and what the interests are of people who are searching on the web to and considering coming here, and how they progress through with from one click to another through the website. So it does give some stronger basis for making decisions about how they redo the website to make it more attractive. They've also tried to make it operate faster. So that makes people happier when they're clicking and not having to wait, and they can get the information they want quickly. So there are a lot of good things they're doing there. And with regard to Leah mentioned moving the sign, and she was referring, Leah, correct me if I'm incorrect, but I believe you're talking about the kiosk that we have in front of the bulk fuel facility. And there's often been interest in moving it to the other side over by the paved pullout opposite the bulk fuel facility, where people can have a photo taken. A lot of visitors like to do that because they do it at the park entry sign down on the park road. And if you've got the Fairweathers behind that sign instead of the bulk fuel facility, probably reflects the kind of message that we would like to send about Gustavus, that it's a especially beautiful place. And so relocating, it's a great idea. I'm glad to see Leah proposing that, and I'm happy to work with her to address this with DOT. It's in their right of way, so we can't just move it without getting a permit from DOT, but I think it could be done and would be, it seems like a good idea to me. They're also expecting to spruce up the sign. It's beginning, or the kiosk, it's been there for 6 or 8 years now, and it's a little bit weathered. So I'm glad they're going to touch it up and make it a little fresher too. So anything else for Leah on the GVA? Okay. Well, I hope everybody will, if you haven't read through that report, be familiar with it, because GVA is, and the visitor industry is what generates a huge amount of the income that we use to provide our services in the city. So it's important for us to make the most of them, and we appreciate their assistance very much. Okay, the next item is item 8. It's to approve the City of Gustavus Capital Improvement Plan for 2022 to 2026. And we've gone through this extensively in our work session. A key thing for the public is to know that this is a plan for capital projects that we've identified that are things that there's a need to do in the community. And some are short term, some are longer term, some are small, relatively small, and some can be fairly large. So in improving the capital improvement plan, we don't actually appropriate money for anything. It is just a plan. So as we're looking for grants, or we hear about grants being available for, say, one of the projects that we may be interested in, we can look through our plan and say, well, here's a project we've been wanting to do, and it may fit this grant, so we can apply for it. Or we have another opportunity to fund it. And the plan is useful when we are applying for grants. The grant agencies always want to know, do you really have this in your long-term planning process? Has this been an item that is of importance to the community that's been recognized for some time? And when we have it in the operating plan, in the capital improvement plan, that demonstrates that it's something that we've had in the plan for quite some time. So I'll turn it over to, let's see, I guess we better have a motion first. I think Lewis Sharman, Councilmember Sharman, has a motion to approve the plan, and then we can move on to some discussion from Tom Williams to cover in more detail. Councilmember Sharman?
Yes, I'd like to move for council improvement, council approval, the City of Gustavus Capital Improvement Plan for the years 2022 through 2026.
I second. Councilmember,
second. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to approve the City of Gustavus Capital Improvement Plan for the years 2022 to 2026. And so I'd like to call for a staff report from Tom Williams, give us a little summary of this. We're not going to go through it in the detail we did in the work session, but at least Tom can hit some highlights of it for the public tuning in. And of course, any members of the public can drop by City Hall and learn more about this plan at any time they wish. So Tom, you're on.
Thank you, Mayor. So this is the fifth comprehensive capital improvement plan for the city. The first one was approved on May 14, 2018. This is a planning document. It doesn't obligate or appropriate funds. It does identify cost estimates for projects along with a description of the project itself. The in-house funding for capital projects are determined by the City Council, with the appropriate AMLIP accounts being used for the funding source, such as the AMLIP Capital Improvement Current and the AMLIP Capital Improvement Long-Term. By the way, AMLIP stands for the Alaska Municipal League Investment Pool. That's where we put our savings so that they can draw interest and earn us more money. Current year capital improvement priorities will be determined with consideration for urgency of need for the project, phases of multi-year projects, available of project managers, consolidation between departments for projects of similar focus, and other criteria. A separate policy and procedure exists for project nomination and development, and includes a short-term and a more extensive form, the long-term scoping document. Project development documents must be approved by the City Council before projects are funded. So as an example of ongoing projects that were funded in previous year, we have the DRC storage and household waste. It's the container, the new housing unit for that, for hazardous waste. We also have the beach improvements, Good River Bridge repair, and the fire hall rain cistern system. As an example of projects that were completed in fiscal year 21, we have the public library roof repair. We have our light detection and ranging, our LIDAR mapping, and the improvements at the Salmon River Boat Harbor launch ramp. We also use our CAPSIS, which is our state wish list that we send off every year. We identify that in the CIP and recognize that if those projects are funded by the state, they're clearly removed from the CIP. And in addition, if they're not approved, then they're incorporated into the CIP. So just an example of funding for in-house projects for 2022, if they're not approved by the legislature, we have our DRC main building replacement phase, the phase one design. We have the Good River Bridge repair phase, the engineering. We have the refurbish and repairs to the old preschool post office building, the bike shelter at the library, the septage disposal program, the Salmon River Boat Harbor fish waste disposal bin, and the fire department structural firefighting gear, and the DRC's three-phase power installation. Some of these items were moved up from the midterm and projects so that we could get those funded because of other circumstances. For example, the volunteer fire department structural firefighting gear was in mid-range, but that gear is due to expire, and we want to try to get that new gear ready for them for calendar year 23, so they're compliant with the requirements for the fire department. Like I mentioned, we do have two other categories. We have the mid-range and the long-range. Those are categories where we put projects that are not immediate, but we want to put them out for the public to see what we're working on and for the council to consider. So as the council considers the CIP plan, if they wanted to move projects within the document, the mid-range and the long-range, in addition to the current funding items, can be reorganized and prioritized. One of the reasons we want to do that is if we get an opportunity for funding. The mayor mentioned grants. If we were able to submit a large project application for funding under the, say, the infrastructure plan, one of the many categories under the infrastructure plan, then we could move that from, say, a mid or long range priority into fund in-house or immediate priority without affecting the scoring advantage we get for having it in our capital improvement plan. Whereas if it wasn't in the plan and we had a funding opportunity and we presented that in an application for a grant, it's likely that that application would be perceived as a application of opportunity, not necessarily a long-standing priority. So the CIP has a lot of assistance as we go forward looking for funding. And with the ARP and the different Build Back Better grant programs, there is an opportunity that over the next 4 years, we'll be able to get some of these larger projects funded. That's a quick overview, Mayor. I'm happy to address any questions.
Thank you, Tom. Do any council members have questions for Tom before we vote to approve our capital improvement plan? Oh.
Yes, Councilmember Sharman.
Yeah, Tom, I just wanted to congratulate you on a well-conceived plan and recognition of the strategic importance of having CIPs available and ready to go. Well done.
Thank you.
I've been reminded by our diligent clerk here that I forgot to ask for public comment on this. And so Since we have a motion here to approve it, and we should be getting public comment. I did want to have that summary out there for the public to know what it was better before they commented. So do any members of the public have any comments on our motion to approve our capital improvement plan? If so, please raise your hand on the Zoom. Okay, I'm not seeing any more. Then I guess we can go back now to council comment. Do any other council members have comment on the capital improvement plan? I know we've sort of beat this to death in work sessions and all, but here's your chance. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody pop up on the screen here. So I guess we have a motion to approve the plan and a second. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Councilmember van der Zanden? Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Councilmember Makowiak?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, all council members are in favor. The motion passes.
Thank you very much. We'll put that plan to use and refer to it frequently. That finishes new business, takes us on to city council reports. And the first thing on that is my mayor's report. You have that in writing, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just would like to hit a few highlights and maybe add a thing or two that I forgot to put in the written version last Wednesday. The first thing was, per our resolution of January, I did our monthly COVID-19 outbreak and risk assessment to review the risk of the pandemic risk currently in our community and make a recommendation to the council as to whether we continue with our controls, primarily masking in city facilities. And in summary, I think as everybody is aware, the trends nationally for the pandemic, even internationally and in the state, are very positive, with fewer and fewer cases and hospitals having fewer cases, and the number of deaths declining, but still some every week reported, 20 or so in the state. The last week, I don't think there were any deaths in Southeast, as I recall, but there were quite a number in the interior and South Central. At any rate, the trends are good, and the CDC's, which now has a website that you can go and check the risk as they have it, as they show it, based on reported cases for your census area or county. And CDC shows us as green, or did at the time I did the report, a week ago or more than a week ago. But they were basing that on the reports that they had on cases officially reported within our census district at the time. The state's risk rating for our census area was still red as a high risk or a high alert level, based on their number of cases per 100,000. But the big factor for us here, as you're all aware, was that we did have an outbreak locally, unfortunately, and quite a number of people were positive, and a few people having, as I understand it, really feeling the effects of it, unfortunately. And I hope everybody is recovering now. We've had a dozen or so official cases, but the unofficial tallies based on reports from home testing that weren't confirmed by our official city testing suggested 20 to close to 30 cases may have been present in the community. So I concluded that the city should try to keep our city facilities open and operating for public business during the present outbreak by continuing to apply the protective measures, including masking indoors in our facilities, to reduce the probability of illness transmission to our staff, volunteers, and members of the public using our facilities. But with the increase in cases that occurred on the 7th, the library decided to close per their approved protocol, and they have adjusted that closure to continue through at least Thursday, as I understand it, this week. They are continuing to assess the risk and keep track of also of what the case levels appear to be in the community, and with the idea of opening the library. But when they do open, of course, they would continue to have the masking requirement there because they are a city facility. So I've not recommended any change to the policy this month. I hope that the situation will be different next month. And it's my intent to maintain the masking requirement no longer than is absolutely necessary. So that was my recommendation to the council at the work session. And we didn't have any reported objections to that at the time. Tom gave us a review on the steel float, and I would comment that or add to Tom's report that we were fortunate to have DOT send over their engineer, Misty Butler, to Gustavus to inspect the damage on the floats and make recommendations for the repair. And she came over and was assisted with in her inspection by Ben Sadler and Councilmember Jill VanderZanden, and we appreciated their assistance in helping Misty make that evaluation. And we also thank David Lowell of DOT for making the arrangements to move the float and to schedule repairs. So we've managed to get the float moved, as Tom reported, and it's over at Bull Moose Cove, where Western Marine will repair it when they're here in April, and then return it to its regular position in time for the season. So I very much appreciate David Lowell's assistance making that possible, and DOT paid for those expenses, which was really helpful to us. We didn't have it in the budget. David Lowell has also agreed to do some scoping work to define what a project to add a wave barrier protection to the float system down there, so that we may be to where it'll benefit users of the floats during the summer when it's stormy weather. And with that with a wave barrier in place, we may be able to keep the steel float there over the winter and not have to move it. But until such time as we have a wave barrier, we're now planning to move it every fall to Bull Moose Cove for safety and then bring it back in the spring. Let's see, we've talked a little bit about the bike trail project. We're working on a grant on that. And again, I want to join Tom in thanking Councilmember Muscoviac and Bishop for working to provide background information and data to our grant writer And we're hoping to get it in for the what's called the RAISE grant, which is one of the infrastructure grants that's due on the 14th of April. The plan right now is to submit for a planning and design grant. So we would ask for a grant for the first phase to develop a design for the project. And then we would follow up a year later with a construction grant once we had an actual engineer's estimate on the cost. The Grandpa's Farm Bridge invitation to bid closes on March 16th. And so I'm looking forward to seeing bids come in for that. And that's a Fish and Wildlife funded project. Fish and Wildlife has offered to fund it 100% with no match for the city. And so that's a wonderful deal. And it looks like they were about to get the final confirmation of that funding from Washington, D.C. We'll let Fish and Wildlife know what the bid amount is and then get a confirmation from Washington, D.C. that they are, in fact, going to fund that before. And then I'll ask the council to approve the award of the project to the low bidder. We have a number of other projects, the Wilson Road culverts and some ditch work on Wilson Road, the riprap up at the big culvert by the gravel pit, Tong Road culverts and ditching, Fairweather Road culverts and ditches that we have those projects largely ready to go. Well, the Tong Road one still needs to go out to bid, but the others are ready to direct the contractor to perform as soon as the ground conditions allow. And Glacier Bay Construction was planning to do the Fairweather project or the start of it to put the culverts back, put culverts in at the driveway of the church, the western driveway of the church that they took out to drain that area. They were planning to do that today and then the snow hit, so postponed. So should be doing that. We hope within another week or so we'll start on that. I guess that's most. Oh, we have a hydrology study that I think Tom may also have mentioned that we're working to get a planning grant for, and that hydrology study will inform many of our other projects going forward for drainage improvements and culverts and the like. One last time, I'll just skip down to the end on both Tom and I submitted testimony for the hearing in the Senate Resources Committee for the PFAS bill that our state senator and representative have both they're twin bills, I think SB 123 and HB 123, if I recall right, same number on each, to deal with PFAS and set standards for drinking water quality and limitations of PFAS compounds in drinking water. And it also will, the bills also will exempt municipal fire departments from liability for uses of AFFF foam that contained PFAS in the past when they didn't, long before anybody knew that it was going to be an environmental problem. So that actually is very protective for us because we have a case going, as you may be aware, with regard to the use of that foam. So our fire department and the city would be protected by that measure if it passes the legislature. So that's my report. Do any council members have any questions about that? That's most of what we've been working on here. Okay. Do any other council members wish to make a report on any project they are doing for the city? If you have a special task or project you've taken on that you would like to report on, this is the time. Okay, I see Tanya Lewis.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to let folks know that Councilmember Furr and I met with Claire Geldof, public health nurse, to talk about something that was brought up by a community member a couple weeks ago about the city doing something to help young women in this town. And we're brainstorming some ideas. We don't have a concrete plan yet, but you know, basically, as far as the city's role, you know, we're just hoping to help facilitate something that can move into the future and be sort of a regular thing and create a space where young women can feel safe to speak up and maybe get some medical, some health services. And yeah, and I will update as things progress. Thanks.
Thank you. And I really appreciate you following up on that. It's one of those things that we wish we didn't have that issue here in the community, but we need to get a handle on it and make sure that our young people are protected in our community. And I'm really pleased that Claire Gelhoff is willing to spend the time and help us out on that. She'll be over here. I talked to her quite a bit a few days ago, and she's planning to come over here frequently. I was impressed that she actually does know Gustavus fairly well, and she'll be very helpful to us in addressing a number of public health improvement opportunities, not just COVID and so forth that has consumed so much of our time, but more broadly. And I look forward to having her come in. And thanks again, Tanya, for the work, and the council member for the work to get that started. Any other reports on any projects anybody's doing? Okay, we have another similar line item here, the council member questions and comments. So this is not a report on a project you're doing, but if you have any other questions or comments, something you wanted to raise with all the council members while we're together on Zoom. Does anybody have anything they'd like to speak up on?
Hi, good evening. This is Claire, your public health nurse.
Oh, Claire.
Hello. I wanted to...
Claire, let me pause you for a sec. That you would fit under public comment in just a second here.
Oh,
but
okay.
I think there, I didn't see any other council members with any other comment first. No, okay. And I'm delighted that you could tune in. I wasn't aware that you were online here. So I'm delighted to hear from you.
Yeah, sorry. Did Mr. Sharman have something to add to? I saw his hand go up on the icon screen. So perhaps Mr. Sharman.
Yeah, this is kind of related, Mike, to Tanya's comment. I believe it was last meeting, someone had written a letter or made a suggestion that with regard to putting everyone on notice in town that we generally have zero tolerance for any kind of sexual abuse of women or anyone, that we might post some signs around town, and some examples were given. And I was just curious if anyone knew whether there was any follow-up on that or any further interest in doing that. Thank you.
Tanya, did you want to respond on that first?
Yeah, that we didn't actually talk specifically about signs, but Claire had some other ideas in terms of outreach that maybe I'll let her share when it gets to her turn. But yeah, no, we did not. We're moving in the direction of more some meetings and, you know, creating a place, a time and a place where young women would be able to get together and get help they need in any sort of health related topic. So, but maybe Claire has some ideas about the signs.
Okay, thanks. Maybe we can go on to Claire now then.
Good evening. Hello, everyone. Happy Monday. And Tanya, just to add to your point, I know one of the things that we did discuss in our kind of earnest effort, beginning efforts of kind of what we're aiming to do, and really my role for the design and purposes of these conversations is to kind of offer an assessment at first and listen to kind of ideas, concepts, and then help craft together resources that I have through Southeast and kind of provide those back to you guys as a community for options. But really, this initiative, I think, requires listening to perspectives of individuals, experiences of individuals, and then kind of giving that information back to Tanya and the council for ideas on how that is steered forward. One of the things that we did talk about was engaging adolescents in some type of campaign that could include things like stickers or posters. And that way it's kind of an inclusive activity where you're providing a workspace to talk about these topics and then helping create messages or promotional ideas that are then turned back for stickers that are put on water bottles. We didn't get to signage specifically, but that could be one of the things that we add to that. So I'll add that to our list as we review that. And I wanted to just kind of join in this evening and just offer to the council, as I'm receiving increased calls from community members, just outreaching public health to understand more about, you know, COVID risk, transmission, spread, and strategies. And what it appears to me to be is that some people are interested in just more information on what Department of Health and Social Services is doing and how that has transitioned in recent weeks with reporting, et cetera. So I wanted to just offer to the council that we are available to do a presentation, and I can pull together people like Dr. Coleman Cutchins, that is a great source of knowledge and resource on things like testing and how that works. But that's something, if the council is interested in kind of a brief presentation or even a town hall discussion, that we could offer. So I know the next work group is on the 4th, and that might be a good time to just collaborate and offer that. But if you have any interest and prospective dates, I offer that to you. So that's all from me. I just, in closing, I hope that my fear is that COVID has definitely been hard on communities and individuals in many ways. And I'd hate to see it become a more polarizing topic. I hope that we can all kind of be kind and gracious towards each other, even with differences across the state that we feel at public health. So if there's anything I can do to assist with these times, feel free to outreach me. Thank you.
Thank you, Claire. And we look forward to seeing you here in Gustavus, we hope frequently. And you're more than welcome to tune into any of our council meetings and any of our general meetings and comment and guide us on public health matters. So thank you for your interest in Gustavus and your concern for our residents here. Do any council members wish to ask any questions of Claire while we've got her on the line here? Okay, I'm not seeing any more hands pop up. I'm realizing that our screen on the wall here doesn't have all of the speakers showing up on it. So, but it looks like we're okay. No, I'm not skipping anybody. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of our agenda. And I thank everybody for participating. Thank you, members of the public.
And can we have some more public comment?
Oh, okay. Right, thank you. I skipped over that one by mistake. So we have another public comment on agenda items opportunity here. And thank you, whoever called me on that. Maybe you have something you'd like to say. If so, please raise your hand and or unmute your phone if you're just on the phone. Looks like that.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
We do. Sounds like Jim.
Okay. Yeah, it's Jim Kearns. Hey, I wanted to just comment on the movement that we're seeing on constructing a wave barrier at the dock as one of the top priorities for the city council, for our community. I believe it really is. And I'd be delighted to give input on that design. So, you know, if you can solicit input from community members too, I would love to be involved in that and working with the DOT people. Also, just briefly, I'd like to see the council seriously consider what I was talking about last time. And I was talking about moving both of the skiff floats, but I've had some great conversations with Louis Sharman, and I see that's not really a workable deal, although I've done some measuring, and it could be done. You know, you could break some of those floats up and put them in between the pilings, and there would be some extension there and leave more room. But if we could just move at least one of those skiff floats just while we're dealing with no wave barrier. As soon as the wave barrier's in, no big deal. But if we could do that, and maybe the one that's the most protected, that's right near the ramp, then all users would have a protected load unload spot. And I mean, skiff people have to load and unload too, and they need a protected spot just like everybody. So it would be for all users, and that would be, you know, obviously important when waves were going to compromise the safety for anybody that's using the dock. So I would really like to see you consider that, put it on an agenda item, maybe, you know, make it a project that we can do, that we can move at least one of those skiff floats and leave 48 feet closest to the ramp so everybody could do an unload load program there. And then if I have time, even consider, you know, letting the dock be transient from hours like 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the morning, and from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. at night, from May 15 to September 15, and then allow people to use the dock in the other times or needs that are there. So maybe even people could park there for all that I care. But anyway, just so that there'd be transient times, but then leave some freedom, some flexibility to have untransient times. So if someone needed to do something, then they could do it there and not be bothering, and why have an empty float? So anyway, those are my comments. Again, let's move one of those skiff floats so that there's a better protected spot. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim Kearns. Do any council members have any questions, clarifying questions of Jim Kearns on his comments there? Okay, seeing none. If there are council members who'd like to take a look at the options there for that Jim's talking about on this, on the skiff float rearrangement possibility, I'd encourage you to spend a little time on it and see if you can bring some ideas to the council and see if that looks like something that you think is worth doing. Okay, are there any other members of the public with comments on non-agenda items? Okay, well, I guess we are finally done then. And So again, thanks to council members for their participation and to members of the public for tuning in and commenting and keeping track of what your city government's doing. So with that, I'll adjourn the meeting and wish you all a good evening. Thank you.